ready for some football. Hello and welcome to MSO News Sports. We have high school football tonight from Gloucester, as it will be the Somerville Highlanders taking on the Gloucester Fishermen from Newell Stadium. I'm Rick Moore, along with Gloucester Times sports editor Nick Kugru and our producer and engineer Bill Proposky. It will be high school football tonight on Channel B. Channel A game already underway, probably close to halftime now, as it is Revere at Lynn Classical. And this one, we have a team coming in to the stadium for the first time, Nick. And I ran into some parents, and they're like, oh, it's so cold.
Yeah, exactly. That's the home field advantage down here.
Well, the thing I said, well, one thing about the wind, though, whichever wind direction, whichever way the wind is blowing, it's always blowing into your face.
Yeah,
doesn't matter
exactly.
From,
it's never comfortable.
No, it doesn't matter. From, but the Doc Enos Memorial Press Box is not what it used to be. It's very comfortable up here in this new
exactly.
press box. Yes?
Sure is.
Absolutely. Well, Nick, Somerville coming in with a record of 1-1. They won rather handily over Peabody in their opening game, and then they were beaten rather handily by Lynn English a week ago, and Gloucester at 2-0. I was not able to make connections with the Somerville coach, didn't return any of my communications. Maybe he didn't get them, I don't know. But I know what I read, and I know what I read in what you told me about them. So what do you see about Somerville?
Yeah, it seems like the theme with them is they're really athletic. You know, their quarterback, I believe Elijah Jeffries is his name, is supposedly as good as it gets in this area. And he has a couple receivers and a running back to throw to. I'm not sure how well they are on the line, though. I've heard all about their skill players. I've heard nothing about their line.
Yeah, and I couldn't find anything about their line, and I regret that. But we'll find out as the evening goes along. We'll identify the players as we can. So, again, they're 1-1. And Gloucester, Nick, off to, I want to say a surprising start, but I'm not sure if that's accurate.
Yeah,
I
feel the same way. It's like, is it surprising? Because we didn't know what to expect with so many, you know, 8 new starters on offense, half the defense is new starters. So far, I thought last week was actually really huge for them for young, because you know, young teams like this, where you're most worried about them is in those close and late situations. You know, a lot of those kids haven't been in those spots before, and I thought they handled it about as well as they could have handled it last week.
And last week, Gloucester started a front line on offense that had one senior on it. Everybody else was a junior.
And zero, players with a year of varsity experience.
They've got one kid coming back. They've got some kids coming back in the lineup tonight that will help. And they've got a couple of kids out with injuries, too. So,
yeah.
You know, it's an ongoing battle. All right, we're going to talk with Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli here momentarily as our pregame show continues. This is high school sports on MSO New Sports. I almost said MSO Web Radio, but I didn't say WESX, so there you go. It's a damp night, but it's not raining. It's windy, but not gusting as much as it was, and that could benefit Somerville because they do like to throw as well as run.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right. Night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender. MSONewsSports.com is your connection to North Shore News and Sports. Local video and radio interviews, photos, and much more. And a daily local radio newscast on North Shore Today.
With Fisherman Forecast, I'm Rick Moore, along with Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli. And coach, congratulations on win number two. Boys off to a good start. And the one thing I read in the paper by Nick Kukuru, a couple of phrases that come to mind, he uses over and over again. Game against Beverly, he talks about toughness and resilience. And it seems to me, reading the event, I didn't do the game, but play after play after play, you guys did what you had to do. How do you feel about that game?
Yeah, well, we knew going in it was going to be a battle. Anytime we play Beverly, I think we're so similar in you know, type of kid and what we do offensively and defensively. You know, they love to hit on defense, so do we. You know, offensively, it's just a ground and pound type of game. So I think we resemble each other so much that whenever you fight, go against each other, it's going to be a battle. And it was Friday night, and I didn't expect any less.
You know, they came out right out of the gate. How important is it to, you know, Paul Ingram says sometimes you score the first touchdown easily, and it sometimes it doesn't bode well. But Beverly swept right downfield, but then you stopped them on that first drive. How important was that?
I think it was very important. You know, that's the type of team that kind of scares me a little bit, when they just line up two tight ends, three guys in the backfield, and they just try to run you over. You know, at some point, it's the kid saying, no more. At some point, it's the kid saying, I'm not going to stand back and get pushed down this field. I thought we did that. I thought our kids stepped up and they said, well, I'm not going to get pushed around any longer. And that's what you want your team to do, right? You kind of got to give them a drive or so to adjust, right? To see what the other team's throwing at them and then make some adjustments. I thought mid-drive we started to show some toughness there. And at that point we just started to get a little bit more aggressive. We started, you know, putting more guys on the line and started going after them. And instead of catching blocks, we started, you know, getting in the backfield, creating some penetration. And we were able to stop them. I thought it was a great play, a great drive to see how tough we were against a team like that. And I thought it was great to see some kids that we really count on stepping up in some roles. And when we needed to play, those are the kids that made plays. And that's what you look for in a team.
The pros down in Foxborough like to talk about situational play, and you guys had some situational play. You had some really big plays this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, offensively and defensively, you know, I think there was probably seven or eight fourth downs from both sides, you know, from them and us. And I thought we capitalized on our fourth downs, and we were able to stop them on theirs. There's a few plays. I know Tony Petrilli knifed through on one, on I think it was their second drive on a fourth down, created a fumble. It was a fourth down anyway, created that fumble, and we got the ball there. And I know Ollie, Emerson had a big sack on another one. And then, you know, right down to the fourth quarter with Matt Smith, you know, it was fourth and three, and we needed a first down, and we put it in his hands, and he's a kid you can count on every play. So, it was a great effort all around by the whole team. But, you know, obviously there's some kids that stand out like that who make huge plays when you need them, and that's your senior leadership, you know, and that's kind of, that's what makes your team either great or, you know, just okay.
You had some question marks in the line before the season started. How's that working out now?
They're growing. I think they're getting a lot better. It's all about communication with them. It's about them talking and being able to understand what the other guy's doing on any given play. Yeah, we practice all the time and we practice all types of alignments, but you don't never know what another team's going to come out and show you until you start playing them. And so for us, it's always about understanding the scheme of the play and how we're supposed to block it, regardless of what they give us for a front. And that's really dependent on how the offensive line communicates with each other. And right from the center all the way up to the tackles and tight end and split end, I think they're getting, you know, they're getting much better. They're getting much improved. It's always, you always try to look for a jump from, you know, week two to week three. So we'll see how we do this week.
In a game like you had on Friday night, when you're behind, you come in at halftime. Are there adjustments that you can make with kids? Are they necessary, or is it you just go with your strengths the way that you've practiced?
There's always adjustments. We're making adjustments after the first drive with our O-line. I got some great coaches that grab them on the sideline, talk to them about what they're seeing. So we're constantly making adjustments. Halftime's an opportunity to sit everybody down around the whiteboard together and explain what we're seeing, ask them what they're seeing, because that's more important usually than anything else is, all right, guys, what do you see out there? Who's doing what? Where are they lining up? And that's where you really get that information. You know, we try to do that on the field during the game, but, you know, you might have a tackle and your guard's out playing defense and your center's, you know, somewhere else. And it's tough to do that on the field all the time. But that's your opportunity to sit them down and say what's working, what's not working. Get them pumped up for the second half. I mean, we were down 8-7, but we were down 8-7 because of a long play that Beverly broke on us and a mistake on an extra point where we gave them another opportunity. Our kids thought we were, you know, we had this game in the bag at halftime. We thought we had some confidence that we thought we could move the ball. We thought we could stop them. So, it's just building on that confidence, showing them that, you know, we can do this, that, you know, we have more plays in the bag and that we're ready to go. And I thought we came out the second half. And I thought we, to be honest with you, I thought we outconditioned them. I thought we were in better shape in the fourth quarter, and I thought we had, you know, more wind in our sails. And I think that's what carried us through the game.
Seems to be a Gloucester trademark. How are special teams at this point?
They're getting better. It's always, I think we do some things really well. I think we do some things, you know, poorly, to be honest, quite honest with you. And you know, we continue to work on those things. And every day we have multiple periods on special teams, whether it's punting, extra point, whatever it is. And we'll continue to get better at that.
Big one coming up now. What do you know about Somerville? Obviously, they had a big win over Peabody on the first week and a loss this week. What do you know about these guys?
They're a very good football team. Very athletic. The quarterback's the real deal. He can throw the ball. He can run the ball. He's deadly when he gets out of the pocket on scrambles. He's just like a natural athlete. He's so effortless. You watch them in film and, you know, you think this linebacker and the safety coming up to tackle him, have him, and all of a sudden he hits the second gear and he's through them and, you know, 20 yards downfield before they even see him. I think they played English, and English is a very good football team. You know, they beat Beverly. They beat Somerville now. I think they're gonna do very well for themselves this year. But, you know, Somerville seems to have athletes all over the field. They have a really good running back that always falls forward whenever he gets tackled. They have three or four great receivers that can catch the ball in traffic. They have a burner that runs down the sideline that they're going to take three or four shots at every game. So we have our work cut out for us defensively. You know, they have athletes all over the field that we need to defend with our athletes. Defensively, they have two solid linebackers in the middle that, you know, they seem to be in Peabody's backfield all night long. So, you know, we're looking for a challenge. I think they're a good team. I think they're a much improved team. I think, you know, coming into this year, I didn't know much about them. After watching film, I'm very impressed.
And this is a league game, so it's a big one.
Absolutely. I mean, there's only, what, four league games? So, yeah, this is a huge one for us.
All right, Coach, good luck.
Thank you.
That is Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli with Fisherman Forecast. I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsports.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
A great way to monitor what's happening on the North Shore? Get the MSO News Sports app. A click here, a click there, you're listening or watching North Shore football. And check out the latest stories on our webpage, MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we're back live with our pregame show as both teams are finishing their warm-ups. Actually, Gloucester has finished. They're just coming back out onto the field. Somerville still warming up down to our left, and there are just waves and waves of heavy mist going across in front of the lights. So I don't know if if that's really rain or just heavy mist. It doesn't seem to be bothering anybody. It is windy. The wind is coming, let me see if I get my directions here. Looks like out of the northeast, pretty steady, and that's pretty much the way it always happens here at Newell Stadium. And again, if it's gusty, that could cause some problems later on. Somerville likes to mix it up, passing the ball and running. Nick, what's impressed you so far about Gloucester's performance? You mentioned, you know, the young kids have performed well on the line.
Yeah, they have, especially on defense as well. I think the defense has been the real strength of this team, even though their offense was very efficient last week. But their defense has been tough to move the football on. We'll see. Their secondary got tested last week, and they passed it. They're going to get tested even more tonight. So we'll see about the secondary in a few hours.
I am going to bring the mic in. There's two kids right in front who are very loud, and they're looking this way instead of at the field. So we're at Newell Stadium. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility, beautiful venue. We don't see any boats out tonight as we sometimes do. And I would say not too bad a crowd considering the weather.
Considering the opponent.
Maybe 10%. Is that the K-Man? Is that Muniz?
What's that?
That Muniz?
I don't know. I don't even
know. Yeah, that's Kinnery Muniz.
Okay.
I believe.
He asked me for a high five. I wasn't one to.
Yeah, he's one of the hockey players.
Nice.
Good kid. Excellent kid. All right. The teams have taken their respective sidelines. Somerville is across the way. Captain's meeting at the center of the field. And Gloucester is on the near side. The Gloucester Junior ROTC is masked down to the right. They will present the colors during the national anthem under the direction of Gunner Rick Muth. Gunner Muth, been with the program, I don't know, more than 20 years now.
Yeah, a long
Took
time.
A couple of years off to go to Lynn English and then came back.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we've got football, a doubleheader over on Channel A. Tonight it is Revere at Lynn Classical, Moynihan Lumber. Scoreboard brought to you by Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plashdown, New Hampshire. Late in the fourth quarter, Lynn Classical 6, Revere 6. Revere with 2 field goals. That game is over on Channel A. Second game on Channel A tonight will be North Reading at Lynn English. Tomorrow, 2 more games. We'll have Malden at Beverly. That's a 1 o'clock start. And Everett at St. John's Prep is our video game tomorrow night at 4 p.m. I didn't see it won the toss.
Gloucester won the toss but deferred, so Somerville's going to be taking the ball. We'll see that offense right off the bat.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break and get back to our game. You're listening to MSO News Sports.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore. MSONewsSports.com is known for connecting North Shore sports fans with local sports newsmakers. Features on teams and players. Exclusive video interviews following the big games. Live event coverage such as high school football, basketball, hockey, and baseball. Live video coverage of the Gloucester Fiesta. MSO also connects you to the area news leaders, mayors, state representatives, state senators, town administrators, city and town elected officials, business leaders, and more. Entertainment features. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook at MSO News Sports. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Leave a voice message anytime, 978-325-3638. Stay connected to your North Shore neighbors by simply clicking on msonewsports.com.
Okay, we're ready for some football, and that is not Mr. Muniz in front of me. I beg your pardon. So, Kelly, if you're listening, it's not your son. I don't know who he is. All right, so we're ready to start. Gloucester will be kicking off from left to right. Nick, you got to tell me about the kicking game for Gloucester.
Yeah, the kickoffs have been good. You know, they're a little shaky on extra points. I want to say they're 2 for 5 kicking so far, but the kickoffs have been fine. They've been covering them well. I think they prefer a little bit of the squib type of kick, but it works just as well as kicking it deep.
All right, so the ROTC band leaving, the ROTC contingent leaving. The mist has really let up. The wind is continuing from left to right across the field. Gloucester will be heading out to kick the ball off, and Brandon Rivera will be doing the kicking. And let's see who goes back deep for Somerville. Marcus Thomas looks like he'll be in the back. Looks like, let me see, I got to work off the roster. Anton Smith will be
looks like Giovanni
back deep as well.
Pierre also back there. And according to Coach Zarilli, he's that big weapon outside of quarterback Elijah Jeffries that they're really going to have to keep an eye on tonight.
Well, both Pierre and Smith are going to come up to about the 20-yard line, and they're bunched together right now.
Yeah, I think they scouted Gloucester. Gloucester likes the squib kick. And they seem to be lining up to return a squib kick.
Yeah.
You got the really hug in the middle.
Yep. All right, now Smith going to drop back a little bit as the ball drops off the tee. Going to have to be held now. So the holder on the kickoff will be Max Howlett for Gloucester. Soccer-style kicker, Rivera. Gets into it, and it's a line drive, end-over-end kick, coming down to the 15-yard line. Return to the 20, right up to the middle, out to the 35-yard line, and then it's Pierre with the return.
Well,
nice return, good kick.
Flag in there, too. That's usually on the return team, but we'll see what they come up with.
All right, so the ball is at the 35 on the near hash mark. The entire Somerville offense goes off the field. Gloucester's defense is on the field. Somerville's is not. It is holding against Somerville. So we'll move it back from
the
35.
We'll bring it back to the 25 there.
And they're going to put it right smack between the hash marks at the 25. So first and 10 for Somerville to get our first offensive play underway. And I can tell you that Elijah Jeffries is the quarterback.
Boy, he's got some height to him.
He does. He's and we don't have this.
Looks like Vince Young from up here.
Moise and Nazario split wide to the left. We've got twins to the left. One, actually two backs in the backfield. Nazario in motion now. It's a run play, sweep to the right on the jet, and he's going to get about 5 yards to the 30. So just a quick play, a run play. Oh, it's Pierre with the carry. All right, I should have known that. Now right back
no,
to...
That was St. Jean on the carry there, on the jet sweep. No, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm mixing up St. Jean
all
and
right.
And
here's a run play that's going to get big yardage. First down yardage out to the 40, to the 43-yard line. And who carried the ball? It is Fred Caston. He's only a sophomore. Gets the first down easily on a run play. Big hole up the middle. All the way out to the 42. 12-yard gain.
Yeah, good cutback by Caston on that run, too, to pick up an extra 4 or 5 yards.
So, quarterback handoff this time. Going to be tackled for a loss. The runner is, that is. And that's Fred Caston. Tackled for about a 5-yard loss. Wow.
Yeah, it looked like Ollie Emerson, Lucas Melanson there on that play. Just kind of blew up that right edge. He had nowhere to go.
They put the ball down at the 39, so it's a net 3-yard loss, second and 13. Fred Caston in the backfield. Marcus Thomas, Giovanni Pierre, Lucas St. Jean among the receivers. Here's a quick handoff hitter up the middle, and it's Caston again, I think, who gets across the 42 to the 44, perhaps. So, 5-yard gain. It'll be third down and about 8 to go for the first down.
Serious tempo for Somerville early on.
Jeffries has not
any time.
He has not thrown the ball. We've got twins to the left in the slot to the left is Nazaire. And wide to the left is Pierre. two wideouts to the right as well. Ball in the middle of the field at the 44 of Somerville, moving from right to left. Gloucester jumps. That can't be good for Gloucester.
Oh, boy, we saw a lot of that last week.
All right, the whistle has
blown.
Yeah,
I think they're calling it on the offense.
Maybe. There's quite a discussion there.
No, they're not.
44, it's going to be stepped off against the fisherman. Offside Gloucester. So that'll put the ball to the 48, make it a much, to the 49. 9 minutes left to go, first quarter, no score.
Yeah, that's, about right a, 50. That's about a 5.5, 6 yards.
Yeah,
yard
yeah
penalty.
It's about a 6 yard penalty.
What?
So it's third and about four.
Yeah, okay. I don't.
And Jeffrey's back in the shotgun right now, and he is a tall young man. He's got one running back behind him, twins left and right. Ball is loose, and it's going to be pounced on at the 44 by Gloucester.
There's Lucas Melanson, number 52.
Wow. So, what looked to be a very impressive drive early for...
No, sorry, Kevin Gabriel's 52. My
Somerville.
Apologies.
Gabriel gets the fumble recovery?
Yes.
Okay. And the ball was snapped high, and the quarterback did not handle it, and it just kind of bounced all over the place. So Gloucester takes over first and 10, and they are at the Somerville 46-yard line. And the miss picks up again behind the backs of the fishermen as they head toward the canal. Their usual wing tee, second back through, left side. Gets about five. You'll have to identify the runner for me there. To the 42. I didn't see who it is.
That was Argentino on a trap.
What number is he?
He's number eight.
All right. Number eight on your program is Ryan Argentino. So he got about four, make it second, almost five, but he got second and sixth ball at the far hash mark. Gloucester moving from left to right. And quarterback is Smith. And this is a run play right side. Trap on the right, picks up some good yardage. That's Argentino once again. He gets the first down. Oh, close to it, just short. Going to be at the 37.
I thought he got it.
So... quarterback is Matt Smith up front. It's Carlos Hernandez Reyes, Joe Shimataro, Noah Benson, Lucas Melanson, and Kevin Gabriel up front. Matt Smith is the quarterback. In the backfield is Ryan Argentino. And I'll have to get the other numbers when I can see them here. But it's third and two for Gloucester. This time, Somerville jumps.
I thought the offense moved.
Uh-huh.
We'll see what they call. I thought the left guard kind of flinched a little bit.
Yeah, Gloucester's moving back.
Mm-hmm.
So it is procedure call against the fisherman. So two penalties so far in the first 3.5 minutes of this game against Gloucester. Brings it back out to the 43. that's another six-yard loss.
Yeah, I know.
These five-yarders are turning into six here. Anyway, now it's third and seven. Almost, third and seven for Gloucester. As Hernandez Reeves is the center. Wing to the right, split backfield behind Smith. Hand off, trying to sweep it out right side, gets nothing. That was shut down. Daylon Lark with a carry, and it'll be fourth down. They're going to give him a yard to the 42.
Yeah, let's see what Gloucester does here. This is a good spot to go for it. Let's see if they or if they try and push him back.
Well, it's on the near hash mark this time. 6:52 left to go, clock moving. And it is fourth and seven. We have a Somerville coach up here in the booth. Usually they're not. They're outside. But here we go. Fourth down and six for Gloucester.
We'll
seven men up on the line of scrimmage.
Pass on this one right here.
Nine men up on the line of scrimmage. Handoff, run play, left side. Room, 40, 35, 30. First down, Gloucester. Jen Pena Ortiz with the carry gets the first down. Just a sweep to the left. Nothing fancy.
Yeah, that was a sweep to the weak side, though. They've been running a bit of an unbalanced look, going where the power is, and that one would look like a wingback sweep to the weak side. Caught Somerville a little bit by surprise.
12-yard gain. Jen Pena Ortiz in the backfield along with Daylon Lark. Ryan Argentino. Tight end is Oliver Emerson. Quarterback is Matt Smith. Mark Smith is out tonight, not playing, nursing an ankle injury. Apparently, the ball moved, so they'll put it back down right on the hash mark at the Somerville 30. Gloucester moving from left to right. Got the red jerseys, white pants, and away New York Giants uniforms for Somerville Highlanders. This is stuffed. Play gets nowhere on the ground.
Yeah, that was the middle linebacker there. It actually looked like it was blocked pretty well at the point of attack, but someone didn't get up to the next level and get that linebacker.
No gain. Argentino stopped at the line of scrimmage. And again, Moynihan Lumber scoreboard tells us late in the game over on Channel A, it was Lynn Classical and Revere tied at 6. Two field goals by Revere to tie that game up.
See that every day.
No, sir. No, sir. And in this weather, and I mean, you know, it's blowing a gale over there, too, Manning Field. Another game coming up on Channel A at 7:30 tonight. Second down on the rocket, it looks like. And this gets maybe 2 yards, if that. I think that was Peña Ortiz. It was.
It was there. Somerville was ready for it at that time, that little reverse play. That's kind of been Gloucester's bread and butter counteraction play over the first 2 weeks.
All right, this one is down to the 28. A couple of yards, third down and 8 for Gloucester. Smith wearing number 13 over to talk to Coach Zerilli on the sideline. 4:39 left to go, first quarter, no score. And a bunch of hearty souls here from Somerville. Good contingent for the Highlanders here to support the kids. Ain't it easy coming up 128?
No, sure isn't, especially from 93.
Oh, I know. Here's a handoff and a run play, trying to cut it outside, turning the corner, gets it down to the 20-yard line. I think that's Peña Ortiz again. Nope, it is Lark.
Yeah, nice cut up the field by Lark. It looked like he was going to bounce it outside, and then he made a nice quick cut up the field to get just enough of that first down. That was a good run.
Looked like he was patient, too, following his blocks, and he did...
I've noticed in 2 weeks, you know, that they have the two running back plays, the off tackle and the sweep. And I think Lark runs the sweep better. It's more of a patient play. The off tackle, you just kind of take it. The sweep, you can kind of see the play develop in front of you more. And he runs that sweep really well.
Maybe we can pick out some of the Somerville defenders as we go along, but it's just not that easy tonight. All right, again, split backfield. And it's a handoff, counterplay left side. Maybe 3 or 4 yards before, driven backwards. Lark was carrying it.
Yeah, no place to go. I don't think he got anything. That was the off tackle right there, more of that quick hitter. But there was someone waiting for him in the hole.
You know, it looked like he had a hole, but boy, it closed quickly.
He did. It absolutely closed quickly.
No gain. Well, Coach Ingram has made it here. Good to see you, Coach. So it's second down and 10. Gloucester at the far hash mark. Sheets of heavy, heavy miss coming down. And the wind continues to be at the backs of the Gloucester fishermen. A little bit into the booth here. Ooh, hit at the line of scrimmage. Dropped for a loss. Who is that? Number one on your program. That's Marcus Thomas with a terrific hit on Lark for a loss. Back to the 22, a 2-yard loss. So, Coach, Somerville had the ball first. They gave it up on a fumble. Gloucester took over at the Somerville 46-yard line. This is the 11th play of the drive, and it's 3rd and 10 for Gloucester to catch you up to date. No score. Revere and Somerville, Revere and Lynn Classical, late in the game, tied at 6.
Oh, good. Good for Revere. Huh? Good for Revere. I mean, like to see them pick up a win.
It just ended. Classical 12-6 in overtime.
Classical wins it. So Moynihan Lumber scoreboard. Lynn Classical 12, Revere 6 in overtime. How about that? Wow.
So the clock's moving right along, so there hasn't been many throws.
No passes in the game yet. On third and short, Elijah Jeffries for Somerville tried to pass, and he was back in shotgun. The ball went out of his hands, and he couldn't quite catch up to it. Gloucester recovered. Was it Gabriel with the recovery?
Kevin Gabriel, yes.
Kevin Gabriel recovered. But now it's 3rd and 10 for Gloucester as the Somerville defense coach has really stiffened up down here at the 20. Gloucester on the ground. This will be the 11th play of the series for the Fishermen. Smith under center. Hand off first, running back through. Gets a couple across the 20. Was that DiAgostino?
Well, that was a fullback ISO. It's a lot to ask out of an ISO, but.
All right, so it's about the 16-yard line, would you say? About a 6-yard gain. So now it's fourth down for Gloucester. Second fourth down in this series. This time it's fourth and long. They've got a wing off to the right. Rivera is the end off to the left, pretty close to the line of scrimmage. Smith is the quarterback. He wants to throw. He's got time. Pumping, faking. Now he's going to run. He's got a lane. 15, 10, 5. He goes into the end zone. Touchdown.
Well, the defensive end, Smith went back to throw when the defensive end came up the field real deep and there was nobody inside of him. And Smith's quality of a good quarterback is to feel where people are and where they aren't, so he made a good play.
Well, he had plenty of time to throw, but nobody open, so then he just ran to the left. And that, for Gloucester, is a 12-play, 46-yard touchdown drive. With 2:06 left to go, first quarter, they lead 6-0. And we're going to be looking. I watched you guys a little bit last week from Philadelphia. I watched you guys on TV. Well, I listened to you, but watched the game. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Next time you go down to the Bahamas or go to Switzerland or whatever, you got to tune us in.
Yeah, that's great to be able to do that.
Oh, it's great. High snap. Smith pulls it down. It's blocked.
It's live ball. So
it is live. And finally covered up. So
boy,
it remains 6-0.
There. I mean, there were two Somerville players. They didn't even have to jump to block it.
Yeah, it went low. Well, it was a high snap. Smith had to jump up to bring it down to the ground for Rivera. So Gloucester leads 6-0. And, Coach, I was telling Nick, I wasn't able to get a hold of the Somerville coach. Didn't respond or didn't get my emails or phone calls. But I did read that the one point of concern that they had in preseason was the consistency for Somerville. And they've certainly got players at skill positions. I don't know if you read about that or know these kids, but they can do it on offense.
Yeah, I actually saw them on film against Lynn English. They did play.
It was Lynn English.
I'll tell you the team they're playing against, and certainly the quarterback can make things happen. Very relaxed throw. He threw a lot of balls kind of low to his receivers, but he's got a complement of receivers. I'm not sure about their running game. But I think they can throw the ball, move the ball, and make big plays.
They had some gains in the first quarter, a 12-yard run and a couple of 5-yard runs and an 8-yard run. No, I'm sorry, that's Gloucester. Never mind. They had one 12-yard run on their first possession. So they did pick up yardage on a run play.
They had trouble stopping Lynn English, and I was questioning whether they could stop Gloucester, but they made Gloucester work for their touchdown.
So Rivera will kick off for Gloucester from left to right. And he gets a high end-over-end kick that's going to come down to the 10-yard line. Field in there to the 15, to the 20. Penalty flag down.
Oh,
out to the 30, 35-yard line. Ball is loose once again.
I think Somerville jumped on it that time. There were two guys around the ball. They got lucky.
Marcus Thomas with the return.
Boy, there's a lot of traffic there, and you're going full speed. A lot of he was pumping his arms, and also the arm that he was carrying the ball in. And
well, there was a penalty marker early. Let's see what it is, if there is a penalty. A blocking below the waist on Somerville. So another good return. 35-yard line is where they got the ball first time, and they lost 10 yards on a penalty, and now they're going to bring it back 15 on a penalty. Back to the 20. Gary Stanton says they're at the 19, so that's where we'll put it. 1:57 left to go first quarter. Gloucester leading 6-0 on the result of touchdown by Matt Smith. So Elijah Jeffries is the quarterback, and he stands tall back there. Two receivers off to the left, but it's a run play right side, running room. Oh, and he gets wrapped up by Smith after about a 2-yard gain. Might have been Kasten with the carry. It was. Smith with a good tackle. About a 4-yard gain.
The play that I saw that Somerville had is the quarterback keeper with the back leading. And that way they can account for everybody on defense.
Giovanni Pierre, one of the captains, split wide to the left. That's the wide side of the field with the ball on the far hash mark. Once again, it's a running play to Kasten. And I don't think he gets much. Maybe a yard. He does, to the 24. It's 1 yard gain. Clock moving at 107. And we have a timeout with a player down. A lineman. Yeah, it's a lineman down. On the ground right now is Quincy Garcia. He's a senior. And he's going to be tended to. Coach, you saw the game last week. Pretty good game both ways, I think. Beverly coming in strong, but also a good game the way Gloucester came from behind.
Yeah, it looked like Beverly was at the start of the game was going to play the physical football game. They were going to go. They went two tight ends, stack eye, and they just really ran off tackle right and left and were gaining yardage. And then he went to the play action pass, and it was incomplete. And then they attempted to throw a drop back pass and got sacked. It seemed like they didn't know what their identity was, what they wanted to do. Then they kind of went to a spread formation, and they did score off that formation too. But they just seemed like they were really searching for an offense. But Gloucester, I thought Matt Smith had some big plays offensively where on quarterback keeper that just made the difference in certain situations.
Well, Quincy Garcia is going to be helped off the field. And not able to put any weight on his right side. He's being helped off the field very, very slowly. And certainly hope he's okay. Big guy. We don't have stats on these guys. They don't do it anymore. We used to have the size, you know, the weight, the height, and the right, all that. We don't get that anymore. These programs come out, you know, I don't know.
I know. It seems... doesn't seem like it takes that much more to put down their height and weight.
Well, you know, talk about this, I suppose, at some point, like a lack of detail, lack of attention to detail. All right, Jeffries wants to throw, fires it right side. It is complete. Receiver falls in the open field after he gets the first down.
Boy, he was wide open, too. I mean, there must have been a breakdown in the defense. I'm not sure. I'll try and figure out what Gloucester's playing for a secondary. Looks yeah. like it's basically a cover two, soft cover two, but he was wide open.
That was Zari with the catch. And once again, Jeffries fires it out, this time to the left side, and it is complete to Giovanni Pierre. He breaks a tackle. He gets close to the first down, out to the 43.
Holding on Somerville.
Boy, that's got to be frustrating.
Those are those outside screens near...
One
blocker blocks the nearest defender, and they throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage. But I guess he held him.
Almost looked like a pick play, too. But
well, as long as you actually can block downfield, as long as the ball's caught behind the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Ball comes back to the 27, so it's a net 6 yard loss. You getting scores there, young fella?
I got a couple. I got. Salem up 14-0 on Saugus. Ipswich up 7-6 on Triton. Those are the two I've seen
okay.
so far.
Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Here's a pass play to the left. It's tipped in incomplete as Pierre was turning around trying to catch it. He was off balance, and it just popped up in the air, and a couple of Gloucester players went after it, but no chance.
Yeah, that was the same play they ran for the first down on the other side of the field. Looked like Gloucester had a little better red.
Down to 11 seconds in this first quarter.
Well, Gloucester's having trouble covering the flat.
Well, they've got some...
the outside linebackers, they're probably having them cover the flat.
As Jeffries is yelling at his receivers on the left side who are trying to get into position, now he's going to put a man in motion. It's going to be a run play up the middle, and this thing just was a mess before it even started. 10 seconds left to go in the quarter. I feel relatively certain this one's against Somerville. It is. procedure. You saw the quarterback yelling at his receivers, Paul, and they couldn't decide where they were going to set.
Can you name a former Patriot that was a coach of Somerville?
Steve Nelson?
Nope.
Who?
John Hanna.
Oh, all right. Coach Hanna. Have you met him?
Yeah, I sat next to him at dinner one time, and his thigh was bigger than my
He is a big man. Oh, my.
He was
no
the,
neck.
He coached for a short time there. A little rough on the kids, so they told him should go someplace else, so didn't work out.
All right, here's a pass play to the right side, and incomplete. That was just in front of the line of scrimmage, intended for Lucas St. Jean's, and it just whistled right through his hands.
Well, you got to focus on the ball. I mean, a good receiver catches the ball, and these guys are hearing footsteps or something. Those passes, there's nothing wrong with them.
I see they're thinking, though. They're trying to go athlete on athlete, but they're just not executing the plays.
Yeah, catch the ball first, then do your stuff.
Coach Zerilli mentioned that exact phrase, athlete on athlete. All right, so Jeffries is in the backfield with one back. It's Gaston in the backfield with him. He's got two receivers on each side. As he's a left-handed passer. He throws the screen to the right. It's incomplete.
They can't catch his passes.
Well, on that one, I think the footsteps theory is pretty accurate because Gaston was about to get pummeled, and so it goes incomplete. So three consecutive incompletions will shut this drive down for Somerville, and they will have to kick from right to left. Looks like Pierre is the punter. You working when you do that? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, tweeting updates.
Oh, okay, cool. I don't know how to do that. Oh, big, high, booming punt. Fair catch at the 46-yard line. And, Coach, fair catches are okay, right?
Yeah, from a sophomore, too.
Yep.
That's great to see. He has confidence in himself.
All right, first quarter comes to a close after one from the old stadium. It is the Gloucester Fishermen 6 and Somerville 0. We'll be back.
The Bradford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features two separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
All right, we start the second quarter with Gloucester at their own 46-yard line. Now they're moving away from the canal right to left. Hand off on a run play in the backfield. It's going to get big yardage right side across midfield, close to the 45-yard line, as Lark gets close to a first down in Somerville real estate.
So Gloucester's going on balanced line. They have the tight end and the split end both on the same side of the field.
9-yard gain,
and
second
what
down.
What happens is they outflank Somerville.
Second and one, Matt Smith, the quarterback.
This is unbalanced also.
Pena Ortiz is wing off to the left. Run play, look out, dumped in the backfield. Tremendous tackle once again. Marcus Thomas with the tackle, stopping the Gloucester runner Lock for a big loss. Thomas with a couple of huge tackles so far.
What position is he playing, Rick? Do you have it on?
I have no idea.
Okay.
He's the middle linebacker. Well, he's one of their inside linebackers. He's made a few really nice plays already.
Well, when you run the sweep, one of the hardest people to block is the linebackers. They usually account for all the linemen. You have someone to account for them, but it's a difficult block.
Third and five. That was a 4-yard loss. And this is a pass play. Smith stop, plants. It's in and out of the hands. Intercepted. Look out. Back to midfield. And it is Somerville Steel as Lucas St. Jean with the interception. Looked like it was going to be complete, but St. Jean got the tip and brought it back to the Somerville 49.
Well, the receiver went to catch it, and he got hit simultaneously, and the ball flew up and into the hands of Somerville, which gives them excellent field position.
So one turnover for each team now, with Somerville starting at their own 49. Just underway in the second quarter. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram and Nick Kukuru, as we start this second quarter with the miss continuing. Now the wind is at the back of the Somerville quarterback, who keeps it, runs, stutter steps, gets big yardage to the 40, down the sideline, to the 30 and out of bounds, as he loses the ball, but well out of bounds. And Smith loses his shoe. Smith making the saving tackle. There's the running ability.
Well, they've been giving the ball to the tailback, and he pulled it that time and kept it himself. I'm not sure. It's difficult to tell up here if it's a predetermined play or he's reading somebody.
Yeah, but see, in radio, you can say, hey, that's.
Well, I wouldn't do that to the fans, Rick. I'm not that kind of guy.
Okay, I know. All right, so it's first and 10 for Somerville on the
you
big
pickup. You
can see
by alignment the flats are wide open.
Near side of the field, man in motion. It's a lateral back to the receiver that's going to gain nothing, as Pierre got the ball. He stopped back, and it was a backward pass, and he did a good job. Actually got a yard to the 30. But that was not a pass. That was a run play. 2 yard gain. Second and 8. Somerville not going to a huddle. They're on the near hash mark, moving from left to right. Short side of the field, one receiver. Far side of the field, off to the left, two receivers. And Jeffries once again talking to his slot receiver, who's in motion. This is a keeper by the quarterback. He stances in the backfield, breaks a couple of tackles, and he makes it to about the 27. So Jeffries gets 3. It'll be 3rd and about 4 for the first down. They're at the Gloucester 27-yard line, just short of it. Fisherman up front, Noah Benson, Ryan Sanfilippo, Tony Petrilli, Kevin Gabriel. Linebackers, Harrison Marshall, Ryan Argentina, Oliver Emerson. Defensive backs, Matt Smith, Brandon Rivera, James Nelson, and Dalen Lark. Young Gloucester team coach, not a lot of seniors.
No, they're not a lot on the team. The area that they're hurting is sophomore and freshman, numbers-wise.
Pierre in motion from right to left. Gets a handoff. Sweeps to the left. Gets a lane. Gets the first down. He may go, and he's dropped at the 15-yard line.
Well, they have some athletes, that's for sure.
And some speed.
Yeah, I didn't catch the number, but I thought it was a really nice play by the Gloucester outside linebacker on that side. He just made a nice quick move up the field.
Well, he came up, and sometimes you can come up too far up the field, and it leaves a gaping hole. You want to get to about a yard over the line of scrimmage and keep your shoulders square and don't penetrate any more than that.
Somerville threatening, ball on the far hash mark. They're headed toward the canal, moving from left to right. This will be the fifth play of the series, but it started at their own 49-yard line. First and 10 from the 15. There it goes, right up the middle, and it's a touchdown. Woo, boy, that was too easy.
Well,
that was a run by, hold on, let me get the name here. Henry Augustin, a senior. The game is tied.
That was different. They had two backs in the backfield along with a quarterback and just ran that dive right up the middle.
Wow. So that's five plays, 51 yards. The game is tied at 6 with Somerville scoring with 6:56 left to go first half.
Yeah, they have to call timeout. I don't know if they don't have the tee, the kicking tee. That shouldn't really happen. Someone should be assigned to hold the tee. And
well,
missing a player.
79 total yards now on offense for Somerville, and Gloucester, on the other hand, has 49. So what are they going to do? They're going to line up for the one or the two?
They planned on kicking it. It looked and then they called timeout because I think they only had 10 men on the field, and now they brought another player in, but it looks like...
All right, Giovanni Pierre. Kick. Pierre will hold. And it looks like Jeffries is going to kick it, right? He's the tallest guy out there, so I think it's him. And it's a good high kick that is good. And show me the number. No, it's number 7. The kicker is Emerson Clems. So Clems gets the point after. And Somerville takes a 7-6 lead.
Now the turnover is costly, as they usually are.
So what do you think about the league so far this early on? Classical picking up, what's that, third win, Nick? Is that their 3-0 now, Classical?
Yes.
Classical 3-0 winning today in overtime. Salem off to a 2-0 start. Gloucester off to a 2-0 start. Danvers off to a 2-0 start.
Lynn English, what's their record? Because they looked very good. I've seen them on film twice.
English was 2-0 also, weren't they?
Yes, English was 2-0. Yep. Beverly and Somerville they beat.
Yep. And this is a league game, by the way, for Somerville and Gloucester. Somerville has lost its first league game. Gloucester
has won
it.
Well, they're neighboring towns, aren't they?
From space? I think from the International Space Station they would be. They look like they're right next to each other. All right, so Clems will be kicking off. And he's going to boot it from left to right. And this is a long, high kick that's going to come down to about the 5-yard line, to the 10, to the 15, outside to the 20, 25, 30, one man to beat, 35, 40, 50, and out of bounds, inside Somerville Real Estate. A terrific return by Dalen Lark. Wow. A little more speed, coach, and it was bye-bye. He's only a sophomore. Good execution by the kickoff team. So Gloucester starts first and 10 at their own 49-yard line on the nice return, about a 45-yard return by Lark, the sophomore. So Gloucester has first and 10 at the on the near hash mark. Usual backfield, wing off to the right, hand off to the second back, who Argentino. Thinking of Coach D'Agostino, who coaches St. Mary's soccer, but it's Argentino with the carry to the 48 of Somerville. About 3 yards, second and 7. Clock rolling at 6:18. Gloucester scored first in the first, and Somerville has come back to take the lead here in the second with a touchdown. Couple of games tomorrow here on MSO, and 2 games going on right now. We had 3 games tonight on MSO, 2 more tomorrow. Rolling to his right, Smith keeping it. He's going to get it outside and get the first down to the 41-yard line.
Well, I think, Lawson, you're going to see that play a lot more often this season. I believe he's the fastest player on the team, and you want to get him the ball. And it's tough when they fake that ISO and he keeps it going around the end.
Yeah, they seem to be using that play at the right times, too. They're not overusing it, so it's predictable.
First and 10, Gloucester at the Somerville 40. And again, pretty impressed with the size of the people in attendance here. Not too bad. The number is pretty good. Big puddle down on the track that wasn't supposed to happen. A lot of water amassed on this new track. Well, it's 4 years old now. All right, this is kept on the ground. Pushing the pile forward for about 3. Who carried it? Argentino.
Yeah, they're really pounding with the fullback, and then the counter off it is a quarterback keeper off that same action.
All right. Another 3-yard gain. Gloucester at 2-0. Somerville at 1-1 overall. 5 minutes left to go in the first half. Smith under center drops it. And it's still loose. And it looks like Somerville's got it. And they do. Somerville has the ball.
Usually that's quarterback-center exchange where the quarterback pulls out. As he's as the ball is snapped, his hands have got to follow the center. Even though he may be stepping backwards, his hands have to go with the center. And the snap looked like it came up a little bit short on that one.
Second Gloucester turnover. Now Somerville capitalizing on the first. Let's see if they do it again. Highlanders start at their own 33 with 4:51 left to go first half. And they're leading. All right, this time three receivers on the wide side of the field. That's the near side with the ball on the far hash mark. And Somerville moving from left to right. One receiver off to the left. Jeffries, the quarterback, puts it in and out, keeps it. Wide open field, left side to the 40. The 45, and tackled at about the 46.
Good fake. I mean, the back faked well. Jeffries faked well. And the split end, it was a single receiver on that side, did a good job blocking the Gloucester defender. It's tough to stop.
Ball is, they're going to put it at the 45.
So what they've done...
And bring it back. My goodness gracious.
Didn't see the flag.
Got to the 45, holding penalty on Somerville. They're going to step it off from the 45.
Yeah, maybe it was why that wide receiver had such a good block.
So it's a one-yard gain after the penalty, after the 13-yard pickup and then the 12-yard pickup and the penalty on top of that. They get him one, almost two. So it should be second down, right? No, it's first down.
First down.
They repeat the down. They got a yard gain. Yeah, right. Okay. So it's first and nine, which is an odd number. This time, two receivers on each side. One running back, casting in the backfield with Jeffries. Fires it to the right over, well over the intended receiver who gets clobbered as he did not come up with the ball. It was Moise Nazeri getting hit. After the incompletion.
So what they're doing is they're making the inside linebackers cover the flat, and it's tough from his alignment. You look at his alignment, he's probably on the inside of the second receiver, the slot receiver.
Second and nine, and Jeffrey's going to the air quite often now, although when he runs, he gets yardage. Got the man in motion, it's Nazeri, and it's a run play up the middle for a couple. That has to be Kasten again. Get a couple to the 35. And that's about it. So it'll be third down. Third and maybe six, seven maybe. Right back to the line of scrimmage with Pedro Montero in motion. Now he'll set up on the far side. And once again, they have spread the field.
Looks like Jeffries, looks like he looks at the defense and then finalizes the play that they want.
Straight back to pass. Screen to the right, dropped.
Boy.
In and out of the hands of Fred Kasten. And it'll be fourth down.
I mean, he's hitting him right in the numbers.
Pardon?
He hit him right in the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's no excuse.
Clock stop. 3:27 left to go. And so this time, Somerville not able to take advantage of the turnover. Gloucester with an interception and a fumble giveaway. And Somerville with a fumble giveaway. 3:27 left to go first half. Gloucester and Somerville. Clems gets a tremendous punt over the head of everybody at the 20. 10. Five. And, it goes just into the end zone, almost out of bounds at the pylon.
Wow.
What a kick. Good heavens. But he does have to win it at his back.
Well, you're looking at the program here, and he's their kicker. And it doesn't appear that he plays.
That's all he does, yep.
Right.
Okay.
His only position.
Well, it was tough getting. I couldn't get a hold of the AD or the coach. I left messages, and... The AD secretary was kind enough to send us a roster, but that's all I could get out of Somerville this week. And so I apologize for not having more information. We have to work off the program, do the best we can. In the meantime, it is first and 10 Gloucester at their own 20. With 3:16 left to go in the half, Fisherman trailing by a point, 7-6. Somerville on top. Gloucester was driving the last time it had the ball. And it got shut down by the fumble. Now, Play stops before it gets underway, which usually indicates it's on the offense.
I think the split end went offsides in motion, which caused them to go offsides.
Offside defense. Why don't they let the play run, Coach?
Wow.
If it's offside defense. Because the play was underway.
You know, that's they used to.
Yeah, say usually only for contact, but I didn't see any contact on that play.
Because when they blew the whistle, that it's got to be in the offense, I thought. But, well, I was wrong then, wasn't I? All right, ball's at the 25, first and five for Gloucester. Again, split backfield with the wing off to the right. Strong right. And they roll to the right, running play. And the first down is accumulated by Dalen Lark, another sophomore. Well, he is the sophomore return. I don't know what I'm talking about here, but it's first and 10 for Gloucester, out to the 32. Now the clock has stopped, and now it rolls after they move the chains.
I think the Somerville scouting.
Yeah, they have a coach up here.
Yeah. So.
Which is unusual to have it in the press box here. Lark coming to the other side again. That would be his left. And he struggles to get two to the 34. Second down and 8 with the clock rolling at 2.5 minutes left to go first half. Touchdown by Matt Smith, 16-yarder back in the first quarter. And a touchdown by Henry Augustin, a 15-yarder, tying it up. And then the extra point for Somerville. Lark going the other way this time, to the right. Nothing. After one, he's down.
One of the things that Lark is, he's only played freshman football prior to this year. And one of the things that happens generally at that level is they bounce everything out to the sideline. They don't believe in the scheme of the play. In other words,
they don't trust it. Is that the idea?
Right. They don't trust it. And that's one of the things they've been working on with Lark, is trying to keep him to read the blocks, not bounce everything out, because at this level you can't outrun him.
Interesting. That makes sense. Third down and 6, Gloucester. Smith wants to throw, rolling to his left, short pass, incomplete at the 35-yard line. Argentino couldn't hang on, and Gloucester will have to punt into the wind.
Must be a slippery ball tonight, Rick.
Must be. Coach, what's your opinion about the fact that Gloucester is down to so few kids in the high school, under 800 students, and no JV program for Gloucester football? I mean, that's...
Well, Gloucester went to the youth football program in which, you know, they had like 8th grade teams, 7th grade teams, and with hopes that it would improve the numbers with the freshmen, and it didn't this year.
Oh, boy, look out. Fumbled snap on the punt.
Yeah.
Lark is in trouble, back at his 20, and dropped back at the 17-yard line. Oh, boy.
Well, as a punter, if you're going to scramble to your right if you're right-footed kicker, because I don't know if he had a choice on that, but he went to his left, and you just can't punt going to your left. At least going to your right, you get a chance at it, but... The hopes of the numbers, but you know, Rick, it's kind of been a trend. When I was coaching, my last year was 2010. We went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row, and it seemed to have no effect on our numbers of freshmen coming out for football. And I always thought that the kids would get big, better numbers.
Yeah.
And it stayed about 25 at the time. This year, I believe they have only 13 freshmen.
Yeah.
And I think maybe 8 or 10 sophomores.
And again, the overall size of the population at the high school is way down as well. All right, Somerville in terrific position now to go out on top by Moore at the Gloucester 19-yard line, casting up the middle, and he pushes the pile forward. Now the ball maybe, nope, he's just gang tackled back at the 15. So he gets 4. He's 2nd and 6, right back to the line of scrimmage. 1:15 left to go in the first half. Now, this is huge for both teams. Score here could really put a pin in Gloucester's balloon, and obviously a stop after the big mistake and And good play by Somerville would be huge for the defense. But right now it's second and six, and Jeffrey's so dangerous in what he can do. He will hand off to Kasten, and he is hit after about a three-yard gain.
Well, they're down below a minute, so there's no sense of urgency, it seems, with them. I don't know if they've even turned around to look at the clock.
Where's the ball? Is that at the 11, it looks like? Nick, can you see it?
Maybe the 13 or the 12?
The 12.
The 12.
Now they'll take a timeout.
Well, they wasted 14 seconds deciding to take a timeout.
Now Somerville takes the timeout. 35 seconds left to go in the half, and Somerville has a third and three now at the Gloucester 12, and it's been, well, we have to say it's been kind of sloppy, Coach, overall, with the drop passes and the turnovers. And really, even though that wasn't a turnover, it's the same effect. 7-6, Somerville leading. 35 seconds left to go in the half. Only score we have on the Moynihan Lumber scoreboard is Lynn Classical 12 and Revere 6 in overtime. Game is over. Second game on MSO Channel B, right? Channel A. North Reading playing at Lynn English. Tomorrow, two more games. Malden and Beverly at 1 o'clock, and then Everett at St. John's Prep at 4 p.m. That will be our live streaming video game. Third and three for Somerville. They're at the 12-yard line of Gloucester with 35 seconds left to go in the half. Ball midway between the hash marks. Jeffrey's the tall quarterback waiting for the snap and the shotgun. He's going to run with it. He's going to cut it outside. He's going to walk into the end zone untouched. Touchdown, Somerville. And they go out on top 13-6.
Well, that was a unique formation. What they did is they put, I believe, three receivers on this side, one on the other side. But they had two backs in the backfield lined up on that side, and then they just ran quarterback sweep. They had Gloucester outnumbered. Nice call, actually a nice scheme against this defense.
Three plays and 19 yards, and Somerville now leads it 14-0. Man, that is a kicker. Whew, mercy.
Yes. Got a live, what you call a live foot. The ball, whether he's punting or plays kicking, the ball really comes off it.
Well, Jeffries finishes off a very short touchdown drive. So the second score in a row by Somerville. This is a 12-yarder sweep to the left by the quarterback. Call that a quarterback sweep?
Yes.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, he just swept to the left. He had two lead blockers.
Well, I think I called a jet and a rocket tonight. Just, and I don't know if I was right. So now that you're here, we'll have to see if I.
Well, like you said, no, it's radio, so. The jet is flat along the line of scrimmage. The mm-hmm. rocket is when he's deeper and he pitches it to him.
That's what I think I called, but who knows? You'll correct me as we move along here. Well, it's 14-6 Somerville now, with 29 seconds left to go in the first half, and Gloucester victimized now by mistakes. Coach was saying they made a mistake at the end of the first half last week, but they recovered from it. Right now, though, they're down by eight. So Clems will kick off with a tremendous leg. And here we go. Straight on. Boom. Line drive. That is a shotgun to the five. Back to the 10, 15, 25. And Pena Ortiz gets it out to the 35, and he almost broke it. Wow.
Yeah, he just went two to beat.
Yeah. Jan Pena Ortiz gets it out to the 35 and one step away, really. But
one of the things when you're on that kickoff team, you got to run downfield full speed. But when you get a certain distance, like 10 yards from the ball carrier, you have to really break down and get under control.
Now, Paul, you don't want to be silly at this point, do you? I mean, just you,
well,
conservative?
I don't know. Yeah, probably right now.
So 20 seconds.
It's not their strength either.
Okay, this is a double reverse, was it, with Ortiz coming around the other side. Outside, 50, 40, 30. One man to beat. He's going to score. Oh, wow. Forget conservative. Jan Pena Ortiz, one carry, 65 yards. Gloucester is back to within a point.
Oh, that was a wingback reverse.
Hello. Was that double handoff? I wasn't
yes,
sure.
Yes, they give it to the running back, and the wing back delays for a count, and then they give an outside handoff to him coming back around. I could tell because the quarterback leads the way, too.
And some terrific blocking downfield, Paul. Terrific blocking. And so now Gloucester is within a point. One play, one strike. And I'm thinking they're going to sit on the ball with a knee. Hello.
Well, it's back. You know, it's a basic play. It's not anything like
yeah,
throwing
I know.
The ball
yeah,
down.
Yeah, that's true. But double handoff, you know, with fumbles. Okay, Gloucester going for two. Down 14 to 12. I think I said it was in a point. They're not. But they're going to get the 2 points. Quarterback Smith keeps it, and the game is tied. Well, that was electric. Coach was talking about resiliency and toughness for Gloucester, and they bounce right back, one play.
Well, he kind of lost his position at running back, Ortiz. So they put him at wing back, and that may help him get his position back. You never know.
That'll go a long way toward it, won't it?
That's the way the world works, though, Rick. You know, it's you got to earn it back.
Well, we got a lot to talk about at halftime. We got to talk to Nick if he has a chance about sports goings on here. And I want to ask you about moving kids around, if I can remember to ask that, when you're coaching. Because as I recall, you had a couple of amazing moves where a kid was in one position. You ended up putting him in someplace else and then again someplace else. But I'd like to hear about how that takes place and maybe a story or two. I know you remember doing that. 4.9 seconds left to go. And Gloucester will be kicking off from right to left. They have tied the game. Brandon Rivera will be kicking. He's a big, tall kid for the Fishermen. And here we go. This is a short kick that comes down to the 32-yard line to an up-back, and he's hit right there. Maybe after about a 4-yard gain. Let's see who the ball carrier was. Wadey Jimenez and Tana. But that's it. First half is over. And man, this had a lot of action in this one. Game tied. Moynihan Lumber of North Beverly. Excuse me, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. Bringing you the score of 14-4 at the half. We will take our break and come back. This is MSO New Sports, Gloucester 14, Somerville 14.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
MSONewsSports.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MSO News Sports or on Facebook. And you can always email us at MSONewsSports@gmail.com.
Back at Newell Stadium at halftime, it's Somerville 14 and Gloucester 14. As this game has had a lot of action in it already. The first score of the game came off the legs of Matt Smith. He looked was to pass. I can't remember if that was a fourth down or not. But
it was fourth down.
Fourth down. He was looking to pass, had plenty of time, and he ended up running to his left for a 16-yard score as that finished off a 12-play, 46-yard touchdown drive by Gloucester. And with 2 minutes left to go in the first quarter, 2-0-1 actually, they led 6-0. But then on a similar play, or from the same distance out, I should say, it was Somerville coming back to tie the game at 6:56 remaining in the second quarter as Augustine scored from Henry Augustine, a wide receiver, a senior, ran it in from 15 yards away. That was a 5-play, 51-yard touchdown drive. 6:56 left to go in the half. Clems, the big right-footed kicker for Somerville, got the extra point, making it 7-6 Somerville. Then Jeffries, the big quarterback who was a multi-threat in the backfield, scored from 12 yards away with just 29 seconds left to go in the half on a quarterback sweep to the left. 29 seconds left to go. Clems adds the extra point. It's 14-6. But 24 seconds later, first play from scrimmage after the kickoff return by John Peña Ortiz. Peña Ortiz gets a second handoff on a reverse and scampers 65 yards, and Gloucester gets the 2 points. It's all tied at 14. Came with 5 seconds remaining. So that's where we are. And the only stat I have at this point is total yardage. Gloucester has 126 total yards and 98 for Somerville. Two turnovers plus the muffed punt as problems or errors, if you will, for Gloucester. One turnover for Somerville. So Nick working on his stats over here. And I'm going to troll Twitter here in a minute. But, Coach, I want to ask you about changing positions for kids. Kids come in, you know, I'm a shortstop. I'm a goalie. You know, I'm a center. They come in, do they do that in high school as well? I'm a wide receiver. I'm a quarterback. I'm a guard. Do they do that in high school?
They do. They have expectations. But there are certain limits that you know right away, with especially with speed and quickness, that separates, you know, your backs have to have a certain amount of speed. And if they can't do it, they've got to go to the line. And things about the wing T is your guards are ex-fullbacks. They're guys that usually played when they were younger fullback,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have the speed and quickness anymore, so they end up playing guard for you because they're still athletic,
mm-hmm.
but they just don't have the quickness. The wing T, the way we ran it, and Coach Zerilli runs it, is that we have a strong side and a quick side of the line. And they flip-flop. So the strong side could be on the right one play, and then next play they could be on the left. And your quick side was more athletic kids. We did a lot of cross-blocking. We did a lot of pulling with the tackle and the guard. Your strong side was your off-tackle play, your sweep play, which was more power. So your strong side guard was a kid who could really kick out really tough, where your quick side guard was a lot more athletic. It could pull and do mm-hmm. things in the open field, which you know, that's the difficult block, is when you're in the open field, when people, it's a moving target, not when it's on the line of scrimmage and it's not moving. And also with our backs, our wing back was our most athletic player. He had to be able to block a defensive end. He had to be able to run the reverse. He had to be able to run pass routes, and he had to be able to catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so Taylor Burbine, Brian Harnish, Brandon Cusimano, they were all wingbacks for us.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't big, but they could change a game in a second. And your fullback with us was toughness. You know, he had to have quick feet. He had to be able to run the fullback trap, and he had to be able to change direction. Only one step change direction. There's not a lot of steps, but that was a quick feet. And be able to kick out a defensive end. And your running back was a kid who just probably was your best ball carrier, you know, be able to run quick pitch. Wasn't really that much in the passing game, but just running mm-hmm. the ball was really his job. And he didn't just carry the freight. He had to be able to block for the fullback and for the wingback.
So how did Anthony Enderle fit into that? Was he a fullback?
Anthony was a fullback.
Because
he could
run, and he was
guy. Yeah, he was probably 260. They said 248 in the program, but I think he was bigger. Kids from Hingham think he's even bigger than that. But Anthony could run 4.8 40.
God.
And 260. And he, you know, he had that good first step, quick step.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got off the ball real quick. He hit the hole real quick. And if he got his shoulders down and his thighs up, I mean, he was just almost impossible to tackle.
Yeah, yeah, I know. He did a run in Peabody that, oh, my God, it was incredible. Now, you had a player who I believe played guard for you at one point, played fullback for you, and then eventually became a quarterback for you. And tell me a little bit about that.
You're talking about Cahill?
Brett Cahill? Didn't he play about 19 positions for
Brett,
you?
Brett could have played anything. He could have been defensive tackle, middle linebacker, secondary.
Catcher at Salem State, right?
Yes, he was. He ended up playing quarterback. He had a great arm. He was a catcher, and a lot of your catchers are good quarterbacks to get kind of a quick release with the ball, strong arm, quick release. And Brett threw 16 touchdown passes his senior year without one interception. So he was really accurate, and he was fearless. I mean, he'd stand in that pocket, mm-hmm. and you just couldn't shake him or rattle him. He could have moved around a lot. Probably the kid I would have to say is probably the best athlete lineman we ever had was Anthony Latassa. Anthony, I first saw him when we had a youth program he has sponsored by the NFL that they don't do anymore. I thought he was going to be a great running back. Well, he wasn't as fast as I thought he was, but he played offensive tackle, defensive end, center. We put our best blocker at center
mm-hmm.
because a lot of teams will put one guy on the center. If you can block him with your center alone, it changes the whole ball game. And he played defensive tackle, defensive end, center, and offensive tackle. And he was our long snapper. And he snapped sophomore, junior, and senior year, never had one bad snap.
Wow. Oh, well, there you go, reminiscing with some of the greats that just quickly come to mind. And I'm always amazed at how kids can be so resilient and learn different positions and, you know, and adapt. And
repetition,
also,
though, Rick. I mean, people don't realize how many times you run these things.
Yeah. But also, Coach, you have to they got to be convinced that it's best for them and it's best for the team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that's not so easy.
No, it's not. And, you know, I told them never say anything to me about how many times you carry the ball. I'm not calling plays to give you and your parents, you know, say, there's my son. I'm doing is trying to win football games and do what put the team in the best position to win.
Oh, God. All right, at this one, it's 14-14. I'm going to bring in Nick Cooper now to give us his opinion of what you've seen, Nick. I don't know if you got any stats, but
I do.
Very interesting first half.
Yeah, Gloucester's got the lead in yardage, 129 to 102. 65 of it came, half of it came on that one run.
Yep.
But, I mean, the turnovers were kind of the great equalizer, really.
Yep.
You know, I thought they were, I don't want to say they were moving it at will, but they were steadily, you know, getting chunks of yardage that they needed before both of those turnovers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think they're going to have a tough time continuing to contain Jeffries in the second half. I mean, I feel like they just kind of
They didn't turn him loose yet. I feel like we're going to see a heavy dose of him.
What do you say about that, Coach?
Well, I would certainly run him. I mean, he is dangerous. If they had caught half the balls, even half the balls they had thrown, I mean, it might be a different ball game. But he is dangerous, and he makes it look so simple. That's what's scary. I mean, he just glides. And he's fast, he's big, and certainly has great instincts. So, especially where they run that dive up the middle and then they put him to the outside. I mean, you got to stop the dive because that's directly to the goal line.
All right, we're going to take a break and come back with the second half. At the half, it's 14-14, Gloucester and Somerville.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor-at-Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing, we've created local jobs, and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
Thank you. second half as both teams have returned to the field. This is MSO News Sports, and this is high school football from the old stadium in Gloucester. I'm Rick Moore, along with Gloucester Times sports editor Nick Kukru and former Gloucester High School coach Paul Ingram. And it is 14-all as we get ready for this second half. Fisherman will be receiving the ball. Moynihan Lumber scoreboard. It is Wakefield trailing Wilmington at the half 20-15, but Wilmington was down 20-0 at one point, so they've come back to cut the lead to 5 at the half. At the half, it's Triton 13 and Ipswich 7, and in the second quarter, Lynn English leads North Reading 6-0. Final from the Manning Field in the first game on Channel A, it was Lynn Classical 12, Revere 6 in overtime. So let's see what Gloucester and Somerville have in tap for us here in the second half. It was a tad sloppy in the first half. Weather conditions, it doesn't look misty at all right now. The breeze is still, well, now as I say that, here comes the mist again. Breeze is blowing from left to right still, and it's a good steady wind. So Gloucester will deploy down to our right. They'll have Lark on the near side. And who else is out there? Pena Ortiz, who scored that electrifying 65-yard touchdown run on the far side. Back in twin safeties. Clems will kick off from left to right. And this one is a high end over end. It's going to be Pena Ortiz at the 1. To the 5, to the 10. Straight up the sideline. Up the hash marks to the 20. That's it. This time he is shut down. So, Gloucester starts 1st and 10 at their own 20. To start this second half. Scores in the first half for the Fishermen, Matt Smith and Pena Ortiz. And for Somerville, Augustine and Jeffries. Carlos Hernandez Reyes is the center. He'll bring the team out with quarterback Matt Smith. Two backs behind him, wing off to the left. Ball midway between the hash marks. It's going to be a run play to the second back. And he bursts out to the 30-yard line. Quick hitter by Argentino. Close to the first down, maybe a yard short.
I believe Gloucester cross-blocks that. And that's why they get such a big hole.
About a 9-yard gain for Argentino. And it's 2nd and 1. Ball at the 30. It's about a yard short. So I guess the original line was 21, not 20. Mist is coming in here and fogging up my glasses. So counter play, nothing. Loss.
Oh, I thought that was the ball.
I thought it was the ball,
yeah,
too.
Somebody's shoe went off, apparently, or something or other. I don't know who carried it. Was it Argentino again?
It was. And if that's a first down, that was all Argentino just kind of leaning.
Well, it was a second effort, because he was actually wrapped up in the backfield. So we're going to measure. Well, we're not going to measure. They're going to measure. We're going to watch. Ball is over there near the chains. The ball is very close to the 31 where they put it.
Is he holding the ball sideways?
Hmm? Can you put that mic up a little bit to your mouth? I can.
It looks like he's holding the ball sideways.
Hmm. Okay. So, ball is on the far hash mark. Gloucester moving from right to left to start this second half. Just underway in the second half. 3rd and wicked short. Goal line formation for Gloucester on offense. They push the pile forward, get about 3 yards. Oh, is that, coach? That's like a goal line stand.
Well, that's, it's fullback wedge, and what you do is the lineman goes shoe to shoe. Instead of taking a little bit of a split, their feet are right next to each other, and you form a wedge usually off the guard, and the fullback leads through the, goes over the wedge.
Almost 4 yards. Ball just shy of the 35. 1st and 10, Gloucester. And again, Somerville with 7 guys up front almost eight guys up front. Pitch to running back trying to cut it outside. Lark is going to be trapped in the backfield and drop for a loss. About a four-yard loss.
Boy, Somerville's got some speed. I mean, I watched the linebacker on that, and boy, he got there almost with the pitch.
And it was actually Peña Ortiz, not Lark, with the carry back to the 30. Four-yard loss, second and 14. Looks like they, well, it's hard to tell. They can't tell the size of the line. No way to know. We don't get the stats anymore. Second and 14, ball on the near hash mark. Lost her just with Rivera. A couple of yards off the line of scrimmage, split to the left. Run play to the right, getting the yardage back and struggling. Second, third effort. Oh, what a run. Almost for the first down to the 45-yard line. Who is that?
That was Peña Ortiz.
Peña Ortiz, keeping the legs moving. Man, he's about a yard short. What a run, about a 13-yard pickup to the 30,
really
to the 44.
He had him in the backfield,
yeah.
And he refused to go down. Couldn't run.
Low center of gravity is keeping those legs churning and then carrying tacklers forward. So now it's third and one. This is huge. And counter play. Oh, straight up the middle. I think he got the first down.
I thought he got it too, yeah.
I believe he got to the line of scrimmage and beyond.
But then driven backwards about 5 yards. That was Lark with the carry. Man, did he get stuffed.
Yeah, good spot.
But he got the first down. Well, that's all you need. We call that staying on what do you call that? Staying on
schedule.
Schedule. Staying on schedule. I knew that. Ball just across the 45. Gloucester continuing to drive by grinding it out. And again up front, it's Hernandez Reyes, Noah Benson, Joe Shimitaro, Lucas Melanson, Kevin Gabriel up front for the Gloucester line. Long count, handoff, nothing.
That was a strange play.
Argentino.
I believe they tried to run the trap.
Man, that was just hitting a brick wall there that time.
Yeah, they haven't been able to get that play going this season. I don't know for one
reason
or another.
Well, that was a trap. You know, that play comes off the quick pitch. And they lost yardage on the quick pitch, so they figured they could trap inside, make it look like the quick pitch, and it didn't work.
Second and 10 for Gloucester. Somerville up at the line. Pass, Smith has to run with it, rolling to his left. Across midfield, 45, 40, and out of bounds inside the 40-yard line. And he is tackled by Kelly Alphonse. But a big pickup for the Gloucester quarterback.
Well, if I was Somerville, I would let him throw because he seems to be pretty dangerous tonight running the ball after going back to pass. So. Sometimes your game plan is to let him throw and keep him contained.
Well, it's a 16-yard run for the first down. Clock stopped with the out-of-bounds play. Ball on the near hash mark with the fisherman moving from right to left. Linebacker's about 5 yards off the line of scrimmage for Somerville. Here's that double handoff again. Ortiz going to the right side this time. Cuts it back to his left at the numbers. Going outside and... again, close to the first down at the 30. He didn't want to go down.
I believe that puts Peña Ortiz over 100 on the day, too.
Wow. Well, it's right at the 30. Another 9-yard gain for Peña Ortiz. He had 65 on that one run, so yeah, he's got to be close
to it.
Yeah,
he had 79 at the half, so. Cowabunga. 23, so yeah, 102 on. Five carries.
Five carries, really? Five carries, 102. All right. So here's a handoff to Agostino. He gets the first down, busted through, carrying tacklers down to the 18-yard line. Well, it looks like if the runners, if Gloucester runners can just get past that initial line of scrimmage, they get some yardage.
Right.
Yeah, those Somerville linebackers seem to be the strength of that defense. They can go from sideline to sideline. Well, if they get a hat on them, there's been some big gains.
Alphonse has his helmet off, and he's going to walk out of the game. And there is a timeout. We get a replacement for him. Alphonse playing up front or linebacker? I think he was a linebacker. Yeah. So he's off on the sidelines. First and 10, Gloucester, and they are at the Somerville 19. Fisherman continuing the drive. We're inside the six-minute mark of this third quarter. They've had the ball for half the quarter so far. Hand off to Ortiz. Peña Ortiz breaks off of one tackle, stiff arms another guy, and still does not get back to the line of scrimmage. He was hit several times.
Well, Gloucester seems to be getting their big plays from the wingback reverse and the quarterback keeper. So I would anticipate something like that now.
About a one-yard loss back to the 20, so it's second and 11. 5 minutes left to go, third quarter. Score remains 14-all. Gloucester has a second and 11 at the Somerville 20. Here's a handoff on a sweep. Cut back inside by Peña Ortiz, and he stops short of the first down, but gets good yardage to about the 10.
Well, there's a big hole there, so the wingback is doing a great job blocking along with the tight end.
8 yard gain. Now it's third down for Gloucester. Right back to the line of scrimmage in the hurry up. Wind blowing right into the face with the heavy mist coming down. And it's handoff to Argentino. Gets the first down inside the 10. Gary says they put it at the 5, so it's a 6 yard gain for Argentino. And now Gloucester is first and goal with 4:15 left to go in the third quarter. And Paul, this will be the 14th play of this drive. They started at their own 20.
You can see the defensive line. They got their hands on their hips. It's a sign of being tired.
Mm-hmm. Get a little fatigue when the offense has the ball for so long. So now it's ball security. Here's that reverse coming around the other side. Peña Ortiz gets it to the 5 out of bounds. After a gain of about 1. They say the original line was the 6. So he gets 1 after all that. Peña Ortiz.
Well, I bet it's on Gloucester.
Peña Ortiz went out of bounds, and there is a penalty. Gloucester moving way back. So I didn't see it. Was it a personal foul? Oh, here it comes now. Holding.
Block in the back.
Holding.
Block in the back.
Oh, is it? Okay. So it's a big one, and that's costly in pushing Gloucester back out, giving Somerville a chance to regroup. And they get a little breather here with the penalty back out to the 15-yard line. Maybe the 16.
Again, quarterback keeper, wingback reverse.
Ball midway between the hash marks. 3:32 left to go. And this is Peña Ortiz sweeping to the right. He's going to be wrapped up after a short, maybe no game.
Well, I will say something about Somerville's defense. They make a commitment and they're quick.
Mm-hmm. Peña Ortiz gets 1 yard. And now, second and 15. What looked like maybe a sure score a little while ago. Not so positive
well,
now.
Well, they haven't, you know,
Somerville
Ortiz stiffening at wingback. Maybe the reverse again.
All right, so Smith under center, ball on the far hash mark. Rivera is just split short.
There it is.
Here's a double reverse, and Ortiz got nowhere to go.
Yeah,
Somerville stops him for a loss.
Well, that was the reverse that he scored the touchdown on, but another Somerville player down.
Yeah, another Somerville player getting up very slowly. Going to put the ball at the 16, so he ends up losing 1 yard, and now it's third and 16 for the touchdown. Third and goal from the 16, but we have an injury timeout. And apparently,
S-
Somerville player, if that's the kid who was hurt, they're going to stay in. So they called the timeout, let the kid regroup, and...
No, I think no. They're...
What now? Timeout Somerville. Okay, they called timeout on top of the injury timeout. All right, so we'll take a quick break with the score tied at 14 and 2:33 left to go in the third.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Still in the timeout as Gloucester returns to the field. Somerville not yet. Gloucester has had the ball this entire third quarter, starting at their own 20. Next play will be the 17th play in this drive. They have a third and goal, though, from the 16-yard line as the Somerville defense really has stiffened up inside the 20. And they've shut down the plays that were successful earlier for Gloucester. All right, now we're back, ready to resume play. Smith under center. Everybody, one man in motion. It's Peña Ortiz. Smith rolling to his left. It's a keeper. He's going to cut it inside to the 10. And he's going to go out of bounds at the 7. So it'll be 4th and goal from the 7.
Another injured Somerville player, too.
Yeah, another injury timeout. Well, so we'll do it again with the score tied at 14. 2:55 left to go in the quarter. We'll be back.
Had a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right. Night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, Gloucester does not have a field goal kicker, so here we go. 4th and goal for Gloucester from the 7. With the game tied and Gloucester having the ball this entire third quarter, 18th play of the series.
I would think Smith's going to carry the ball again or Ortiz with a reverse.
All right. Smith under center. Man in motion is Peña Ortiz. It's a keeper by the quarterback. No place to go. Cutting it outside. Trying a stutter step. And does he get in? He's in! Oh, man, how did he do that?
Yeah, it looked like they had him hung up there, and somehow he got in.
It's a touchdown for Smith. He had nowhere to run, Coach, and just was stopped and looked like stopped at the 5, but somehow on the far corner of the end zone, as far away from us as you can get, he got into the end zone, and Gloucester takes the lead. 4th and 7. Wow. On the 18th play. That's huge for Gloucester. And a tough one for Somerville because that defense had done so well down there. So Smith, 7-yarder, his second touchdown of the evening, and Gloucester will go for the single point after this time with Rivera to try to add the get the 7th point. And again, this one's blocked. Penalty.
Boy.
Jeez.
It looked like all 11 players blocked it.
Yeah. That looked like the dam broke. Good heavens.
Are they going to call that roughing the kicker.
18 plays, 80 yards for Gloucester with the go-ahead touchdown. And the fishermen are back down here. It is penalty on Gloucester, so they'll have to have this assessed on the kickoff. So the fishermen lead 20-14, and they do not get the extra point. .206 yards of offense now for the fishermen, and of course they're being led by Jan Pena Ortiz. 7 carries, 111 yards up to this point. 2 touchdowns by the quarterback Smith, and .216 left to go. So, should Somerville get a touchdown, they've got a sure extra point in Clems. After Gloucester misses the conversion attempt. But the fishermen had the ball for almost 9 minutes, 8 minutes and 54 seconds to start this second half. 18 plays, 80 yards. A couple of third down, several third down conversions, but one on fourth down for the touchdown. Mist has let up once again. Wind continues to blow from left to right. And we get ready for Gloucester to kick off from right to left into the wind. Rivera, end over end kick. Going to bounce at the 15. Muff picked up by Somerville running back. And he's going to be tackled at the 15. Lordy mercy. Giovanni Pierre just could not get untracked on that one. And a good defensive stop by Gloucester will force Somerville to start from their own 15. At number 23, apparently making a tackle.
17? How is that the 17? They gave him 2 yards for nothing.
Well, he was stopped at the 15, but whatever. They give him. So Nicholas Filho... field hole. Almost got clobbered on the chest bump as he comes over the side. He makes the tackle. Almost got wiped out. So, jeez. Ball is at the Somerville 17.
Apparently you get forward progress if you run backwards.
Well, I still am wondering about that offside play. That was a little strange. But it's first and 10 for Somerville now. Let's see if they let Jeffries loose. He is tremendous talent back there for the Highlanders. He does have one touchdown. This is a run play. Matt Kasten again? Yep. Kasten with the carry. Gets it out to about the 20... About the 22, maybe? Well, they give it to the 23, so it's a 6-yard gain for Kasten. Somerville right back to the line. Wideouts, wide side of the field is the near side. Jeffries, the big, tall quarterback, left-handed quarterback, standing tall in the backfield with one running back, Kasten. And he hands off to Kasten. He drags the player forward for about a yard or two to the 25. Let's see, third down and about 3.
I don't know. There's so much more dangerous when Jeffries carries the ball.
I think he's only got the one completion. A lot of drops in that first half. He did have a pitchback pass be thrown to his rear. And there's another handoff cast, and this time he breaks it up the middle for a first down out to the 37-yard line.
Well, you know, they're spreading Gloucester out across the field with some wide receivers, but they also have two backs in the backfield along with the quarterback, so they have those extra lead blockers.
Noah Benson, Ryan Sanfilippo, Tony Petrilli, and Kevin Gabriel up front for Gloucester. The defensive line. First and 10, Somerville. They've brought it out from their own 17 as the clock is winding down now. 38 seconds in this third quarter. Ball is at the 37-yard line of the Highlanders. Jeffries looking left and right, barking signals. And it's the same play up the middle. Caston breaks it up for now about six more yards.
Oh, he fumbled it. I think he got stripped.
He did lose it, but I think he got it back.
Where he carries, when he's going through the middle, he keeps the ball in one hand. And
it's a Somerville ball.
It's tempting to grab it.
Mm. Put it at the 46. So Caston with four straight carries, mostly up the middle, and that'll take care of the third quarter. So after three here at Newell Stadium in Gloucester, Gloucester leads it by a score of 20-14 over Somerville. We'll be back.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
We start the fourth quarter with Somerville at second and one, trying to cut it outside. They get the first down as Henry Augustin, who has a touchdown tonight, gets the first down to the 48.
Somerville really had the right play called. I mean, Gloucester blitzed the middle, and they called a sweep. And it was a good play by the Gloucester defender to stop that play by himself.
Henry Augustin, a senior, gets the first down. It is at just short of the 48 on the far hash mark. And now Somerville is moving from right to left, trailing by six. Gloucester had the ball for 18 plays in the third quarter. Now Somerville moving from their own 17-yard line. They've got it out to near midfield. And there's Augustin. No, it's a keeper by the Jeffries. Quarterback. There he goes, outside, 50, 45, down the right sideline. And he steps out of bounds, apparently.
He's in another class, I'll tell you. He's
well, let's just see
big,
where he went out of bounds.
He's fast, he's elusive.
Jeffries.
He must have gone out of bounds, stepped out of bounds. But
at the Gloucester 44, yeah. Looked like it was a much bigger game than that, but it's still eight.
Wait, what?
And now it's second down for Somerville. This will be the sixth play of this drive, and they've stayed on the ground as well.
Yeah, they totally messed up those. Did they mess up the yard markers at the end of the quarter? No, I can't add.
No, 46, 37, 40, they were at the 46. Oh, I see what you, yeah. All right, so this time Jeffries is going to be sacked. I think that might have been a pass play because the receivers were out in patterns. And it's a loss back to the 47.
Sometimes you call that a bonus down. You got second and one, so you say, okay, it's a free down.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get the first down on the third down play, but, boy, you never take a sack.
Put it back to the 48, so it's back to the Gloucester 48-yard line, and that makes it a four-yard loss. So they've got to get it down to the about the 42. Now, the heck is this kind of a formation? You've got you've got two men in the backfield with Jeffries back in the shotgun, with two stacked eye receivers on the right side. But it's a handoff that goes to about the 45. I'm going to say it's Caston again, but I don't really know. It's Augustin. Augustin gets it to the 45. All right, so now right back to the line.
If I was Somerville, I'd come back with that quarterback sweep.
It's fourth down and about two to go for the first down. Not much between the quarterback and the center, even though he's in shotgun. Maybe 3 yards with two blocking backs in front of him. Jeffries, long count, handoff to Augustin. He's going to be stopped at the 45-yard line. Wow, what a call. What a play on defense.
Who was that? And was that Harry Marshall, number 13?
Was it?
I'm not positive. It was someone on the far end of the
13
field.
13 is Smith, isn't it?
Matt Smith, sorry.
Smith, yeah. He's been tremendous in defense tonight. So that stops that play. That was 9 plays and 38 yards, but Gloucester takes over on downs. How big was that, Coach?
Well, real big. Jeffries is yet to be stopped, and I don't know why he didn't carry the ball.
Yeah, you got to question that, because he's easily the best player on the field right now.
But how about
Matt
Smith on
5 carries?
Smith has made some tremendous stops on defense, and he is the quarterback for Gloucester with a couple of touchdown runs as well. And Gloucester now, 8:52 left to go in regulation, as they say, leading 20-14. This is a run play. Agostino up the middle, 40, 30, 20, 10, and gone. Touchdown. Well, Coach, I hadn't seen that speed, but looks like Gloucester does have some speed on offense. Score goes up to 26-14, Gloucester on the 56-yard touchdown run by Agostino.
It's the second one-play drive for Gloucester as well.
I know. 65 yards by Pena Ortiz. Now they'll line up for two. That was just up the middle, wasn't it? Just a dive play?
Yeah, I think it was a trap.
And Agostino gets in.
No, it was actually
Argentino,
fullback
rather.
ISO. The running back leads the play.
And I've been calling him the wrong name. It's Ryan Argentino. I should know that. I had some of the Argentinos in class. Argentino with a 56-yard touchdown run, and now he gets the 2 points, and that's a one-play drive of 56 yards. We're down to 8:39 left to go, and Gloucester has doubled up. It's 28-14. I'm stunned by this.
Yeah, it looked like that drive looked like it was bound for a score for Somerville, and then they just kind of stalled.
Well, different players have contributed tonight, but I don't think you can overestimate the play of Matt Smith on offense and defense for Gloucester. He has led the offense. He scored 2 touchdowns, and he's made a number of tackles on defense, including that huge tackle on 4th down when Somerville was in Gloucester Real Estate just a minute ago trying to tie the score. But Argentino comes back with a big run. And the touchdowns for Gloucester tonight, Smith has 2, Peña Ortiz has 1, and now Argentino has 1 for Somerville. I almost said San Antonio, talking to Andy a little earlier. Augustine and Jeffries with the touchdowns. 8:39 left to go. A couple of games tomorrow on MSO. Malden at Beverly, 1 o'clock. Everett at St. John's Prep. Our live streaming video game at 4. Rivera gets a good high end-over-end kick coming down to the 10. Going to be returned to the 15, up the middle to the 20, 25, 30, across the 35 to about the 37, and I don't see who's carrying it. It is, who's that last guy up? I didn't get the number. I don't know who carried it.
It was 19 on the return.
Number 19 is Moise Nazaire. Nice return out to the 30s, almost the 37. Call it the 37. So Somerville now, we expect to go to the air.
I don't know. I don't know if they will, Rick.
Or
I
will
mean, you know,
unleash Jeffrey
right,
somehow.
Right. Yeah, unleash him somehow.
So he's in the backfield. Twins to the left, twins to the right. Ball midway between the hash mark. Jeffrey's got Kasten with him. He sends a man in motion from right to left. It's a handoff on a counterplay to the halfback, Kasten, and he gets it across the 40 to the 41.
They better pick up the
Augustine.
Pace of their offense, too, if they want to get
Augustine.
A chance to win this game.
Augustine with a carry gets 5, and they're picking up the pace now. Right back over the ball in the shotgun is Jeffries. He will look to throw. Fires it to the right. It's complete to Kasten, I think, who's close to the first down. Is it number 11 or number 13? No, it's 19, so it would be Nazar with the reception. Just short of the first down at the... Well, it's going to be close to the first down at the 47. 7:54, lots of time. Plenty of time left to go for Somerville. They got it. First down. Not a lot of extra players on either sideline. First and 10 for Somerville. And this is a run play sweep to the left.
Yeah, he's around.
Yeah.
Oh,
lots of yards. Lots of open real estate to the 45 of Gloucester. And that is Augustine again. That looked like it was going to get a lot more than it did, but it still got 8.
Yeah, I thought Jeffries did a great job riding that fake there. Mm-hmm. A couple guys hesitated because they didn't know who was going to get the ball.
Yeah, good fake. Right back to the line there. Playing with a purpose. Second down and 2. Man in motion from right to left. Hand off to Augustine. He's going to get the first down, but not much more. Well, he might be a yard short. It's at the Gloucester 44, so it is short by a yard. Augustine is the lone running back in the backfield with two receivers left, two receivers right, with Nazari in motion. This is the quarterback keeping it, and I think after he got tackled, he went, no, it's not the quarterback, it's Nazari. And I think he might have got the first down just with his, no, he didn't. Wow. Looked like he had it, but now it's fourth down for Somerville. Again, the ball is at the Gloucester 44.
Gloucester got just enough penetration there where he had to make a little move backwards for a second. That was enough to stop him.
Almost 2 yards to go for the first down. Now the quarterback, Jeffries, talking to his backs, looking at his wristband.
It's the same formation they ran that sweep out of in the first half.
He's hollering. He's got a man in front of him and a man to his right. And it's a handoff. No, it's a keeper. There he goes. Look out. Jeffrey, stutter step. Up the middle. First down and more to the 34 of, to the 36 of Gloucester. First
I hate
down.
To be sarcastic, but jeez.
You wait to your desperation to let him use them?
I know.
You have a sense with the ball at the Gloucester 37, 7-yard gain. You have a sense he could do this on every play.
You do. You do. That he could make something happen mm-hmm. that's good.
Yeah, because that play was well read, and he got 7 yards.
Clock yeah. moving at 5:40. Ball is at the Gloucester 37, first and 10 for Somerville. This time it's Jeffries with one running back. He puts a man in motion, and it's a handoff to Augustine.
Right, really.
And he gets it to the 35 and not much more.
I mean, the thing is, Gloucester's got a totally ball control offense. So even if you do score and you get it down to 2 minutes, Gloucester can hold the ball forever.
But you have a kicker, Clems, who's pretty clever and pretty good. And you know he might do the, what do you call it, the onside kick?
Yeah, we saw last week Beverly punted the ball to Gloucester with 6 minutes left, thinking they'd get another chance, and Gloucester
didn't
just,
do it.
I mean, they scored with 30 seconds left, but, you know, that they easily could have ran that 6 minutes off the clock.
Second and 8 at the Gloucester 35. The clock continues to roll at 4:47. Jeffries gets the snap, fires it off to the right, complete at the 35, and stop right there. I'll bet you that's Smith over there. It is. Smith again.
Yeah, I mean, Smith has made... Every time they go that direction, well, that's where Smith is playing. I don't know. I'd throw away from him.
You get some help from Petrilli as well, but no gain. That looked like it had at least 5 or 6 yards. And Smith and Petrilli just closed it down. Now it's 3rd and 8. And the clock continues to move. 4:14 on the far hash mark. Jeffrey shoots it to the right. It is complete. to Augustin. He breaks a tackle, gets the first down and more. Out of bounds inside the 30, the 25. Boy, that was a quick-hitting pass, bullet pass across the field. It is to the Gloucester 25, 10-yard gain. So that's a first and 10 for Somerville. They're ready to go again at the 4:05 mark. Ball did go out of bounds. Again, Jeffries launches it toward the end zone to the right. Oh, and is it caught?
No.
No.
Almost had it, but he had the cornerback beat.
Oh, man, Pierre just over his head as he was contorting his body, trying to keep it in bounds and catch it. Stops the clock, though, at 3:59. 28-14, Gloucester on top. Somerville needing a quick strike at this point and then get the ball back. And Jeffries, you just have the feeling he's pretty damn capable of doing that. So it's second and 10 at the Gloucester 25. Jeffrey looks to his left this time. It is complete to Nazar. He breaks a tackle, goes in for the touchdown. So there you go, just like that. It is Moise Nazari with the touchdown on the pass from Jeffries, and they cut it to 28-20. Gloucester missing the tackle. Nazar punching it in. So 3:50 left to go now.
Who was that on the touchdown? Sorry.
Moise Nazar, number 19, from Jeffries.
Well, they certainly do have some skilled players on this team, don't they?
Boy, you got that right. From Jeffries. And it all starts with their quarterback, man. So that is an 11-play, 63-yard touchdown drive by Somerville. It gets it down to crunch time as Clems will add the point after, easily. And now it's 28-21. Well, over on Channel A, we had an overtime game earlier. So Moise Nazar scores from 25 yards out from Jeffries. And that's a 12-play, 67-yard drive, 63-yard drive, rather. 3:50 left to go. Gloucester 28, Somerville 21. Now, if you're the Somerville coach, do you kick it away?
I would kick it deep. Yeah.
The
odds of an onside kick of getting it, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's not good.
Okay. There's plenty of time. I mean,
But what they have to do is step it up on defense and just not let Gloucester just control the ball up the field.
Gloucester was just the one play. They just had the one play in the fourth quarter. They had 18 plays on one drive in the third quarter. So Gloucester has done it by grinding it out. They've done it by quick strike. But Somerville right back now. All right, there's a squib kick, and it's going to be covered up by Gloucester at the 44.
I mean, that's...
Gabriel was... Oh, Latanzi.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jeff Latanzi pounced on it at the Gloucester 44.
No matter what they do, they're going to get poor field position. I mean, even if they stop Gloucester.
Well, you got to have ball security, too, at this point. Remember, we had Gloucester three turnovers in the first half. Somerville was just one. So Gloucester is moving from left to right on the far hash. Run play to Argentino. Gets about four. I probably called him every wrong name tonight except Smith.
That's right. It took me about a season and a half to stop calling Andrew Latasso by his older brother's name, so I know I know how it feels.
Well, Argentino gets five out to the 48, and certainly 49. Gloucester in no hurry to come out of the huddle.
Well, if they get this ISO going, then, you know, it's a pretty easy play to execute.
All right, run play, Gloucester tackle. Up the middle, and going to be stopped well short of the first down.
So I'll call the play right now. ISO keeper, Smith keeps the ball.
ISO keeper, so what does that mean?
He'll fake the ISO to Argentino,
mm-hmm.
and he'll keep the ball.
Smith will?
Yeah, and he'll go around in for a first down.
I'll always remember that play from Nolan Palazzola against Lynn Classical. And I still think Lynn Classical doesn't realize he had the ball.
Third down and two, and again, Gloucester using as much time as they can coming out of the huddle. Somerville wanting to get the ball after having scored and only down by seven now. Smith is the quarterback. And it's a long count. And he takes a timeout. What happened?
I don't know.
Boy, the coaches on the near sidelines were jumping up and down.
Well, I think the wingback was supposed to go in motion, which adds another blocker over there. So if they do run the quarterback keeper, they have another.
Well, this has been an amazing game, Coach. Somerville coming to Gloucester for the first time. It's a long haul. As you said, they're not our next-door neighbor. Oh, no,
you know,
Rick,
I can see it with the football games. You know, you play one, they're going to come here once. But you look at all the other sports, and, you know, Tuesday afternoon trying to get to Somerville, and what time do the kids get home for, you know, Mike?
And I know Everett has lights. I know they played a 7 o'clock game in Everett girls soccer this week. That had to have been a late one, too.
Third down and two for Gloucester at the 47. Smith, handoff. Oh, close to the first down, but short. Argentino is short of the first down.
Give it to him or no? You're going to have to measure.
Good heavens. You know, I don't know. It's at the 40.
I don't think he got it. I think they got about a foot, maybe. I don't think he got it.
See, and it just depends. Yeah, that ball is not going to touch the hash mark, and the far stick is on the hash mark. So I don't even know if they're going to measure.
I don't know why they need to measure. This is easy.
I thought for sure Smith would have carried the ball.
Well, they will measure and put the sticks down. The far stick is about, what'd you say, Nick, a foot?
Maybe.
Just about.
Maybe sneak it, plow it through there on a sneak.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't risk a...
They're going for it. Here we go.
They did this last week, and it paid off. It was Smith on the...
Fourth and one.
On the keeper outside on this very situation.
2:02 left to go in the game, and Gloucester leading by only seven against Somerville. Handoff, line surge, first down to the 42. Wow. That line just blew back. It was amazing. The right side of that Gloucester line, Coach, did it. Ball is all the way down to the 43. Argentino just had to ride the wave. So Somerville now desperately needing the ball. They call a timeout inside the two-minute mark. This has been lead change a couple of times. Smith scoring for Gloucester. Fisherman led 6-0. Augustine scored for Somerville. They got the extra point. Led 7-6. And right now it's 28-21. Gloucester first and 10. Quick timeout. They're at the 43 of Somerville. Smith does keep it this time. He's going to roll to the left. 40. Breaks a tackle. Down to the 30-yard line. They ran the play just two plays after you called it, Coach.
Right.
And it worked just as you said it would. Ball is at the 31-yard line. Another 12 yards for Smith. And Peña Ortiz... 8 carries, 114 yards. Smith is piling them up, too, judiciously. A minute and 49 seconds left to go in the game. And we will be back here. Coach, I'm going to talk to you about next week's schedule as well. We've got Thursday and Friday games. Lynn Classical at Gloucester will be our live streaming video game next Friday night, if you'll be here. And then on Thursday, I'll be at Marblehead. We're going to do Beverly at Marblehead. I don't know if you can make that one. But we got two games next week on Friday and one on Thursday. The other Friday game is Manchester Essex at Ipswich. Going to dip into the Cape Ann League for the second time this season. First and 10, Gloucester. They're at the 30-yard line of Somerville. Almost a 31. Call it 30. Keep it on the ground, of course. Off of tackle, down to about the 25.
You know, the only chance Somerville really has is to really strip the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really can't seem to stop them.
About a 6-yard gain. Somerville takes another timeout. Ball at the 25. Very impressive night for Gloucester. And, Nick, I did not see the Beverly game, but I would think that this is there's a lot of similarities between this game and that game.
It is. And, you know, Gloucester had, what, a 3rd-and-8 or so at the end where, you know, a first down wins it, and they ran it 31 yards for a touchdown. So, but, you know, similar where, you know, about 6 minutes left and Gloucester just bled the rest of the clock off, puts the clamps
on
the
game. It's
going
to be so frustrating if you're if you're a coach of the other team when you see Gloucester, these grinding drives of, you know, 12 plays and tonight 18 plays, and then they break one, you know, on one play. It's like, where do you guys keep getting the speed up here in Gloucester?
I know.
And again, not a lot of guys out for football this year. No JV team in Gloucester this season. Minute 40 left to go. Third quarter, Somerville desperately needing the ball.
I got Gloucester. Somerville with one timeout left.
2nd and 4. They're going to get close to the first down, but it'll be short of the 20. Argentino again, keeping it on the ground up the middle. And running with two hands on the ball.
Smart.
Well, third down,
I think that's the only way they can lose the game is by turning it over.
Clock moving, 1:18. What'd you say, Nick? You think they got one left?
I think so. Maybe none. I know they called three this drive. They called at least one before this drive.
And they're going to need to use it soon. Clock heading down toward the 60-second mark. 3rd down and 1 for Gloucester. And Argentino gets the first down, maybe. He got a little assist from Smith pushing him, I think. They get the first down. Now all they have to do is just hold on. Can you take the knee at this point?
They can. They can take a knee even if they have timeout left.
Well, Somerville will have another injury timeout. Thanks, Nick. Nick Kukru has to go to work now. We're working all night. Thank you, Nick. Nick, Gloucester Times Sports Editor, headed down the field to talk to the coaches. So with the mist continuing to blow here in Newell Stadium, Gloucester has the first down, and looks like the shaken up player is going to be okay. That is Anton Smith, who will walk off the field under his own steam.
Well, he... Well, they've had a number of injuries tonight, mm-hmm. haven't they?
It's been a tough game. I think it's similar to the Beverly game a week ago for Gloucester. So the Fishermen come out with 54 seconds left, and the clock is moving. They're at the Somerville 18 with a 1st and 10. And they're just going to let the clock, they're going to take the penalty. No, they don't. They just take a knee. They fumble?
I don't know.
Somerville says they fumble. Where's the white hat? I don't see the white hat.
He's down trying to figure out who's got the ball.
Mm-hmm. 33 seconds left, and Somerville, if they get the ball, will have one last gasp.
No, I guess not.
Nope, they're going to say Gloucester recovered. If it was a fumble. I don't think it was a fumble. I think he put his knee down. And they're going to let the clock run out. So we will take our final break of the evening here, and pretty interesting game, to say the least. I don't think Gloucester will. They will have to run one more play, apparently. 12 seconds. And that's the final knee. And that's the final play. So Gloucester wins a squeaker and a hard one, 28-21 over Somerville. We'll come back and wrap this thing up from Newell Stadium in Gloucester.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposits, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Final score from Gloucester. Gloucester 28 and Somerville 21. And quite a high school game. Fisherman started the scoring. Matt Smith from 16 yards away with 2:01 left to go in the first quarter. That was 12-play, 46-yard touchdown drive for the Fishermen. They led 6-0 at that point. In the second quarter, Henry Augustin, a 15-yard dive to the left. 5 plays, 51-yard touchdown drive. Clem's added the extra point. And with 6:59 left to go, 6:56 left to go in the half, it was Somerville 7 and Gloucester 6. And then the very talented quarterback, Elijah Jeffries, for Somerville scored a 12-yard touchdown and a quarterback sweep. That was only a 3-play, 19-yard touchdown drive. But 20 seconds left to go in the half, and it was a 14-6 lead for Somerville. And I think the key play in this game, and I'll ask Coach about this in a minute, was the ensuing kickoff. Because Jan Pena Ortiz, with 29 seconds left, brought the ball out to the 35, and then one play later, he goes 65 yards for a touchdown, 5 seconds left in the half, and Gloucester ties the game up at 14, 24 seconds after the touchdown by Somerville. In the third quarter, Gloucester kept the ball for 18 plays, went 80 yards, chewed up the clock for over 6 minutes. Check it, for more than that, I wrote it down here somewhere. But the heck with it. I can't find it right now. 18 plays, 80 yards. Smith from 7 yards out. Second touchdown of the game. Gloucester takes a 20-14 lead. And then it was Argentino scoring from 56 yards away. One play, 56 yards. 8:39 left to go in the game. He also adds the extra 2 points, and it's 28-14 before Moise Nazari scored on a 25-yard pass from Jeffries to cut the gap to 28-21 for Somerville with 3:15 left to go in the ball game. 12 plays, 63 yards for the Highlanders, but that was all they could get. So, total yardage for Somerville, 199. Total yardage for Gloucester, 250. Fishermen win it by a score of 28-21. And leading ball carrier in the game was Jan Pena Ortiz with 8 carries, 114 yards. For the Fisherman, and he was absolutely electric tonight. So we will take our final break, come back and chat a little bit with Coach Ingram. Again, final score here from Newell Stadium, 28-14, and we'll be back in just a second.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People, come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at
game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Be sure to check out North Shore Sports Night every Monday night at 7. The North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns.
All right, 28-14, and Coach, I don't know, it's hard to pick out a turning point, I suppose, but I thought that at the end of the first half when Gloucester looked like Somerville was beginning to take command, Gloucester just turned it around.
I think you're right, Rick. I think they kind of relaxed, figuring Gloucester only had a couple of plays, and, you know, they haven't been throwing the ball at all and successfully, and they ran that reverse, and it's the first time I think they've run it this season, to be honest with you. I've seen
double handoff, yeah.
Yeah, and he went the distance, and it was a heartbreaker for certainly Somerville. But Somerville's got some talent. I just thought that Jeffries is such a weapon to get him, especially even running the ball, let alone throwing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just let him run that quarterback sweep. I think it's really difficult to stop with him at the two lead blockers. But Gloucester does what, you know, they do. They keep coming after you and break a few here and there, and they don't, you know, really lose yardage on any plays, so they stay on schedule. And, you know, they execute plays well.
And
you know, that's what it's all about.
And this looks so much like a typical Gloucester team that we've seen in the last X number of years.
Well, it is, and it's... I think it suits the kids, and it certainly Coach Cirilli knows the offense real well now, and he's got some good assistants that know it too. And they know if something isn't working, why it isn't working, and how to correct it. And when a lot of times you have all this wide open stuff, it's hard to make corrections. But they know that if sweep's not working, it's either because this kid isn't making his block, or the ball carrier is trying to bounce it out. Or they're stopping it, but this is the counterplay to that should go. So give them credit. They seem to be 3-0. That's not bad.
And you talk about Elijah Jeffries for Somerville. What about Matt Smith for Gloucester? He you know, managed the game, if that's the right word to use. He scored a couple of touchdowns, and he was tremendous on defense.
He's a weapon. He really is on offense. He's tough carrying the ball. He's the fastest kid in the team. I had lunch with Coach Cirilli yesterday, and we were talking about him. He's probably the strongest kid in the team. He's the fastest kid in the team. He's their best defensive player. And, you know, he's pretty close to being a pretty good offensive player, too. I mean, he gets out around the end, and he's fast.
Tremendous. All right. Well, quite a win for the Gloucester Fishermen tonight. And they win it by a score of 28-14. 28-21. I beg your pardon. Yeah, let's not cut it too short there. And... Gloucester will be hosting Lynn Classical next Friday night in our video game, and Somerville will be traveling to Medford next week. And again, two more games tomorrow on MSO Radio on Channel A, Malden at Beverly at 1 o'clock on Channel B, and live streaming video Everett at St. John's Prep. So on behalf of Nick Kukuru, who helped us out tonight, Gloucester Times Sports Editor, and Coach Paul Ingram, producer and engineer Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore, reminding you of the final score from Newell Stadium, Gloucester Fishermen 28. And the Somerville Highlanders 21. Gloucester now 3-0. Somerville 1-2.